Wormholes, particle physics, extra dimensions. Are the wonders of so-called reality really what they appear to be? Or do we exist in an elaborate hologram? Is our universe the result of random activity or the result of intelligent design? If a creator was involved, can we discover him through our perception of divine order? This is Into the Multiverse with Josh Peck.
Hello and welcome to a very special episode of Into the Multiverse. We have one of your favorite guests, one of our favorite guests. But first, before we get to him in studio with us, as always, my lovely, beautiful wife, Christina Peck. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you doing, honey?
I am doing fantastic. And with us, fan favorite, Timothy Alberino. Tim, once again, how are you doing?
Great to be in the multiverse.
Yeah, it's great to have you back. These are always my favorite episodes. I think we've done so many of these now, and we're, you know, outside of the show, we're friends anyway. So these episodes are always really easy. Something we've never talked about, I've interviewed you at least a dozen times, not just on this show, but on other shows as well. We've never really talked much about your past. And this was actually Tim's idea to talk about this for this episode, his dark, torturous Amazonian past. Where do you want to begin?
Well, I was born.
We would hope. We would hope that happened. Were you actually born in South America? Or?
No. I was born outside of Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, okay.
So I grew up in Cleveland. I grew up in Brook Park, actually, a suburb of Cleveland. And, when I was basically the worst experience of my life was high school.
Yeah, I can relate.
It's public school in general, but especially high school. So, so I'll skip to high school. In high school, you talk about a torturous experience. For me, it was a torturous experience.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I couldn't stand it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was just so supercilious and superficial. And I wasn't getting anything out of high school.
Mm. And was it like an intellectual thing, or were you getting picked on? Or?
No, nothing like that.
Oh, okay.
I simply began to opt out of class.
Yeah.
And so it was just getting extremely boring to the point where it was trudgery. I just couldn't take it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So as it happened, I wasn't picked on or anything like that. Mm-hmm. To the contrary. So at some point, I believe in the beginning, the first month of my senior year, it happened that some of my teachers were complaining about me.
Mm.
And this isn't by any means an endorsement of this practice, but they would. I always operated under the philosophy that school should stay in school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I was very much against the idea of homework.
Right.
Mm.
In fact, I was so opposed to it that I boycotted it altogether.
Oh, okay.
So they would issue the homework sheet, mathematics or whatever, and I'd sign my name on it and pass it right back in. I just simply wouldn't bring it home.
Mm-hmm.
I hated school so much, I refused to bring it home with me. It was the last thing I wanted to do. So I wasn't a rebellious student. I was actually a very good student in that I was very quiet, and I did my work and I passed the grades. And apart from boycotting homework, I was a quiet student.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I say all of this is because it happened that one of my teachers or two of my teachers made some complaints about me. They didn't like me personally.
Mm-hmm.
It was known that I was a Christian.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wasn't picked on or anything like that, but my teachers were aware of it, and they had a liberal bent, many of them, and they just didn't like me.
Mm.
And so I was sent to the counselor's office, and I was informed that the teachers didn't like me.
And they actually told it to you like that?
Yeah.
Like, the teachers don't like you.
Yeah. And,
wow.
And I got it. The counselor flipped out on me.
Mm-hmm.
And she just was shouting. And I can't even remember exactly why. I was respectful. I wasn't offending her in any way, or at least intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to figure out what it was that these teachers, why they had such a problem with me. And the reason why I say all of this is because I ended up getting kicked out slash dropped out of high school. And that was a catalyst for the things that would come afterwards. So I dropped out of my senior, kicked out slash dropped out of my senior year right in the beginning of it.
Oh, wow.
Right in the beginning of the year, which was glorious. So I left, and I ended up attempting, instead of, I always tell people, I didn't go to college, I moved to the Amazon.
Yeah.
Which is true. But before I went to the Amazon, after I dropped out of high school, I attempted to go to Ireland.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It had always been a desire of mine to go to Ireland. Yeah. I was maybe 18.
That's where my ancestors are from.
Yeah, mine too. Some of them.
I have some from Ireland too. I was about 18, maybe 17. I don't remember however old I was in the beginning of that senior year. And so I tried to go to Ireland, and I say try because I got deported from England.
Really?
In the attempt.
So
you decided, did you have money saved up? You decided that you were going to try to go to Ireland.
Yeah, I had some money saved up. I had worked a little while. I dropped out of school. And
were you trying to move to Ireland? Like, what did you want to do in Ireland?
No, I had a friend that lived in Ireland, and I was going to go up to Inverness, Scotland, and walk the, I can't remember the name of it, a particular trail from Inverness to the sea, and then take the boat over to Ireland, and we had this whole thing planned out. But
so you made it to Europe.
I made it to Gatwick, England, and I flew into Gatwick, England, with a friend of mine who's now my production assistant, Carlos.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And so we flew into Gatwick, England, and we were gonna get out, walk out of the airport, and get on a train and go up to Inverness, Scotland, sort of make our way up there.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, we got apprehended by customs.
Hmm.
I'm sorry, immigration.
Mm-hmm.
Immigration apprehends us, puts us in this room for 6 hours, and then interviews us and independently. And when I was interviewed, it was the most ridiculous thing one of the most ridiculous things I've ever endured, because I won't go into the details, but basically I was insulted as being a Yankee.
Oh,
I've never
geez.
Been called a Yankee. Basically, I was called a Yankee, told that they didn't like Yankees, and very bizarre situation.
They were probably whiter than you.
It was a woman, yeah. And it was a immigration's officer,
mm-hmm.
and she called me Yankee several times, and some other things, mm-hmm. and then deported us the next day.
No real reason.
No
just,
reason.
Just purely.
Basically, a bias against Yankees.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, okay.
So. Whatever that means. And so it's sort of like one thing leading to another, mm-hmm. and I'm skipping out a bunch of other critical things. But eventually, I get deported the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And this was an ardent desire of mine to go to Scotland and do this hike, this trail, and then go to Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I really wanted to do. I didn't know what else I wanted to do, but I definitely wanted to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And being deported from England and losing all that money and time and everything and was pretty depressing.
No, I bet.
Oh, yeah.
I was just kind of like a zombie on the way back mm-hmm. on the flight.
Mm-hmm.
I get back home, and I was in a very depressed state for a while. It just so happened
mm-hmm.
that there was a man. My father was an evangelical non-denominational pastor.
Mm-hmm.
I should say a pastor of an evangelical non-denominational church. And there was a man that was preaching in the church at that time, whose name was Alfonso Felix.
Mm-hmm.
And Alfonso is a Mexican who happened to be a missionary in Peru, in Tarapoto, in the Amazon basin of Peru.
Okay.
And I was encouraged by my mother-in-law to talk to Alfonso about going to Peru with him.
Oh, okay.
Now understand, if I had not been deported from England,
right.
I would have never met Alfonso at that precise period of time.
Yeah.
Long story short, I ended up going to Peru with him
mm-hmm.
because I couldn't make it to Ireland, so I went to Peru instead. And after being in Peru for a month, I decided that when I came back to the States, I decided that I was just going to leave the United mm-hmm. States I was very disillusioned with a lot of things at that time.
Sure.
Society in general.
Yeah.
With, there's a lot of things going on. Basically, I was driven by a desire to have an encounter with God. That was my desire.
Oh, okay. Mm.
And I decided I'm going to move to the Amazon, mm-hmm. and I'm going to start there, and I don't know what I'm going to do, but... So at one time, I moved to the Amazon basin in Tarapoto, the city of Tarapoto, in Peru, and I just began to live there, and I learned Spanish, mm-hmm. had a couple of pet monkeys, and lived by myself, and became immersed in the culture, mm-hmm. Peruvian culture, and I took to it very well, unlike high school.
Right.
And so, long story short, I decided that I wanted to go into the jungle, deep into the jungle, and spend a good amount of time in the Amazon. Mm-hmm. I lived in the Amazon basin in a city, but I wanted to go live in the deep jungle. And so I did that.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
And
For how long?
It was off and on, but it was for extended periods of time, months at a time.
Wow.
And
so by then, were you there long enough where you were prepared for all the dangers, or were you still kind of new to it and just thought, well, I'll be fine? And
I took to Peruvian culture very quickly.
Okay.
And
I mean, the jungle, that's a dangerous place, isn't it?
Yeah, but I adapted very quickly to the jungle. I couldn't adapt in suburban mm-hmm. society in Brook Park, Ohio, but I adapted extremely quickly in Peru, in the
wow.
Peruvian culture. And I live with lumberjacks and hunters mm-hmm. and stuff like that in the jungle. And it's a very powerful experience in my life because, and I hate to tease you like this, but I had an encounter mm-hmm. in the jungle that changed my life.
Wow.
Wow.
Now, I do remember the very first time I interviewed you. It was when I was hosting The Sharpening Report. That was a show I created years ago. My good friend Sam Johnston is hosting it now. He's doing a phenomenal job, and he's growing it further than I could. But the very first time, we didn't even know each other yet. We actually got connected, I think, through Sheila Zielinski. And you briefly mentioned a little bit about the Amazon story, and then you got up to that part, and you stopped and wouldn't tell me anymore. Are you going to tell me more this time?
No.
Oh, come on, Tim.
No.
It's been years. We're friends.
No.
I mean, if it's something sacred between you and God, obviously.
It's not that it's sacred.
Or deeply personal.
I'm just not sure that it would be beneficial to other people.
Okay.
But suffice it to say, I had a very intense experience in the jungle. I've never sure. taken drugs in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Up to that point, I didn't drink any beer or anything like that, any kind of alcohol. I was not a beer drinker or anything like that. I'm not making a statement about that. I'm
right.
just saying that, just so people know, when I say I had an experience, it wasn't influenced.
It wasn't
ayahuasca.
Right.
It wasn't because I drank a bunch of tequila.
Mm-hmm.
I happened to be staying with a group of lumberjacks at the time, mm-hmm. working with a group of lumberjacks. I, at some point in time, would like to write a book about it,
yeah.
have written a book about it, but would like to publish a book about it. But what's important is that I would have never been in Peru if mm-hmm. I hadn't got deported from
right.
England. I would have never
right.
got deported from England if I hadn't got kicked out of high school.
Right.
So what I'm trying to do is trace this. So I get kicked out of high school, dropped out, kicked out,
mm-hmm.
get deported from England. I end up in Peru,
mm-hmm.
Have this encounter in the jungle,
mm-hmm.
end up living in Peru for an extended period of time. I lived there for 10 years,
mm-hmm.
Doing all kinds of stuff, some ministry type stuff, some business type stuff in Peru.
Mm-hmm.
I actually went back to Cleveland, Ohio, got married to a girl that was part of our church since I was very small.
Mm-hmm.
She moved back to Peru with me. We lived there. We had two of our kids, our Peruvian citizens, were born there.
Oh, wow.
And while I was in Peru, I started to hear some very interesting stories concerning giants.
Oh, wow. Mm.
And concerning other things.
Mm.
And there's a lot of supernaturalism that you're exposed to sort of in a very casual setting in third mm-hmm. world countries. At least I can speak for Peru.
And you even dealt with some of this personally.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Well, before we get to that, I'm going to tease the audience and make you sit through a commercial first. But we're going to get right back to that as soon as we come back. Derek Gilbert and I wrote a book called The Day the Earth Stands Still. We want to tell you about that, how you can get a hold of it, and this amazing package that Tom Horn has put together with another book of mine, Unraveling the Multiverse, Michael Heiser's books, a DVD set, an audio CD, an audio MP3 set, excuse me, and a bunch of other things. So stay tuned. We'll come back right after this.
Three very mysterious shiny lights have police and residents puzzled.
This pilot who flew Barack Obama says UFOs are real, and he's seen one firsthand.
The triangular-shaped flashing object appears to be floating above the Capital City.
So this large disc,
oh yeah,
massive, it was following you.
It was pacing us. Here's this giant red ball just above the clouds.
Unbelievable.
Oh, it was.
Four different species, at least, had been visiting this planet for thousands of years.
For the first time in history, the disturbing truth behind the push for official disclosure of extraterrestrial intelligence and UFOs has been uncovered. For years, religious and secular researchers have tried to determine how the world would react to a genuine extraterrestrial reality. But what if their conclusions are wrong? Humankind has defined them as devilish creatures. Yet something even more diabolical is occurring. What if there's a difference between ancient demonic phenomena and the question of extraterrestrial life? It was hinted at in the WikiLeaks.
People really want to know what the government knows.
I have said I want to open the files as much as we can.
A reality that lurks in the shadows that will soon come to light. A truth so shocking, it threatens the destiny of every soul on planet Earth. You must ask yourself, why now suddenly is seeking to answer the question of UFOs life-threatening?
This is another investigator who is getting very close to information on official disclosure that's now been found dead.
I've talked to a lot of pilots here, and they've all admitted that they've seen UFOs, but they kind of keep quiet about it.
The government discounts every single report that ever seems to come out, every UFO report.
I'm about the only person willing to get in front of a camera and talk about the UFOs that were flying overhead.
Promises of earth-shattering news are being quietly whispered by scientists and government insiders. Is something about to happen that was prophesied in the Holy Bible? This November, internationally acclaimed best-selling authors Josh Peck and Derek P. Gilbert peel back the lid on an astonishing cover-up and expose on a most insidious deception. In The Day the Earth Stands Still, unmasking the old gods behind ETs, UFOs, and the official disclosure movement. Coming November 2017.
The holidays are rapidly approaching, and now's your chance to save big on the largest SkyWatch TV giveaway of the year. We're proud to announce the Day the Earth Stands Still Ultimate Collection. When you purchase the Day the Earth Stands Still from SkyWatch TV, you'll also receive Josh Peck's most significant work in the new compilation book, Unraveling the Multiverse. Also back in print through Defender Publishing for the first time ever, Dr. Michael Heiser's breakthrough books, The Facade and The Portent. But we're just getting started. You'll also receive the brand new, top secret 5-volume DVD collection, Project Stargate. This unprecedented series of never-before-released confidential interviews features 12 of the world's leading authorities on UFOs, so-called aliens, gods, and the coming day of contact. You'll be amazed as we go behind the scenes to ask experts what they really believe is coming. Watch as men with security clearances like Dr. Chuck Missler share for the first time what they know. Then take notes as Dr. Michael Heiser, the late Chris Putnam, Russ Dizdar, Joe Jordan, L.A. Marzulli, Daryl Sims, Gary Stearman, and others weigh in on what will soon cause the world to stand still in awe. And yet, we're still not finished. You'll also receive Dr. Thomas Horn's presentation, The Secret Vatican and Alien Antichrist Connection on DVD, the digitally re-released legendary 20-hour audio series, Official Disclosure, the DVD presentation, Quantum Physics in Prophecy, and two free brand new gift books to add to your library or to give away as gifts this holiday season. Sold separately, this colossal special offer holds a retail value of over $300. But it's yours now for a very limited time at only $39.99 plus shipping and handling. So don't delay. This avalanche of holiday gifts is perfect for the serious researcher in your life, but is only available while supplies last. So take advantage of this, the largest SkyWatch TV giveaway of 2017, while you can when you purchase the Day the Earth Stands Still Ultimate Collection, now at the SkyWatch TV store. Order online or call 1-844-750-4985.
Welcome back to Into the Multiverse. I should also mention that a little bit later, we're going to answer some viewer questions. Now, if you're watching the normal half an hour, you know, 28-30 cut of this program, there is an extended feature at youtube.com/intothemultiverse. Make sure to go there. You can view this entire interview. It's a lot longer. We do these from time to time, almost always when Tim is here. So make sure you check that out. Subscribe, click the little bell so you get notifications telling you when we upload new content. Okay, so to jump right back in, supernatural experiences in the jungle.
Well, while I was living with my family in Peru, in the city of Tarapoto again, We did some, as I said, some ministry-oriented stuff, and we had some very interesting encounters with shamans. Mm-hmm. Not intentionally; it was just
they're in the culture. They're there.
They're there, mm-hmm. And it was conflict initiated by them, not by us.
Oh, okay.
We went through some very bizarre things. For example, there was a period of time, and this is kind of difficult to describe. There's an area, there's a very famous place in Tarapoto, Peru. People can look this up on Google. It's called, I believe it's still called to this day, Takiwasi.
Okay.
And Takiwasi is a drug rehab center that was started, I believe, started by a Frenchman living in the Amazon basin. And the idea was to use shamanism and ayahuasca to treat people who are addicted to other kinds of narcotics. Heroin, people were addicted to heroin, people were addicted to coke, meth, all kinds of stuff. And but they used shamanism to do it. And they were associated with very, very popular, well-known shamans that were very effective in what they did. And right next to Takiwasi was a facility called the Achual.
Okay.
And the Achual was a... what's the word I'm looking for? Hostel. You know what I mean? It wasn't a hotel or a motel. It was more like a hostel. It was very rustic. It had a big, it's very difficult to explain. Very rustic facility with some bedrooms and stuff. And this was a place that was frequented by the kind of people that we were, ministering to. And so we rented the whole thing out. And, long story short, we began to come into conflict with the society of shamans. That was the strong, their stronghold in that city. That's where they did their conferences and so forth in the jungle. And because we were right on the outskirts of the end of the town, so if you went in a particular direction from where we were living, it was just jungle. And so they had a retreat out there where they would do, like I said, conferences and so forth. And one particular day, I don't remember exactly when it was, but there was a time period in which I began to discover. One day I walked into the Atrial, the place we were renting, and I went up to our room, and there was a big black tarantula on the door, which it's the jungle. So
that's why I could never live there.
I didn't think anything of it.
Definitely afraid of those things.
I thought that's interesting. It was like right in the middle of the door. Ugh. Like it was put there. That's what somebody put it there. I thought, oh, that's kind of strange, but you know, this tarantula is everywhere. But I went inside the room And that night, I had my firstborn son. He was a baby at the time, laying on the bed. And I looked over at him, and there was a what's called an isula, which is called in English a bullet ant.
Oh no!
That big.
Second reason I could never live there.
Yeah, a bullet ant crawling on his face.
Now, aren't those the ones that it's the most painful bite of like anything?
Yes, it is.
Kill a baby if it.
Yes.
It stings.
Oh my God!
Yep. And the isula was crawling on his face and his neck. And I looked over, and I could see there was more than one in the room. This was the same day. I found the tarantula on the door. Again, not real uncommon. It's much more uncommon to find isulas in your house than a tarantula on your door.
Mm.
So anyway, I very carefully flicked it off of my son's face. If it would have stung him in the neck, he would have died.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, this is interesting. Black tarantulas on the door, isulas in my bedroom. Very easily could kill a child, kill a dog if it stung a dog. So the next morning, my wife would get up and there was an outdoor basin, one faucet, and she would wash clothes in the morning. It was a concrete basin. So the next morning, I believe it was the next morning, my wife gets up to go wash clothes at the basin.
Mm-hmm.
And the basin is a cement basin. It comes out like this from a cement wall. The basin comes out like a rectangle.
Mm-hmm.
And on the wall is a faucet.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's connecting to that faucet on the wall. The plumbing's behind the concrete. So faucet. She goes to turn the faucet on to wash clothes, but she happens to look up before she reaches over. There is a snake coiled around the faucet in a striking position.
Oh, number three, why I could never.
On the
faucet. Oh, my God.
On the faucet.
Now,
I assume it was poisonous.
There's two things that you need to understand about that. First of all, it was the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Snakes move to the warmth in the morning. There was no hot water in that faucet, only cold. So there was no reason why a snake would be wrapped around a cold faucet in the shade in the morning.
Yeah.
Snakes are out bathing in the sun in the morning because they're cold-blooded. They have to warm up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Second, it had to be put there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was a flat cement wall with a cement basin coming out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody had to have placed that snake on the faucet.
Oh.
And it was a poisonous snake.
Oh.
And at the time, I had a guy working for me that was sort of the groundskeeper. He came over with a machete, and he knew about the tarantula on my door, and he knew about the isula, I told him.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw the snake, that it was wrapped around the faucet and chopped its head off with a machete.
Mm-hmm.
And he came to me, and he said, Tim, Peruvian guy, he pulled me aside, and he said, this is witchcraft.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
He said, this is shamanism.
Well, we are all out of time. We'll have to do this again soon. There are some big changes coming up to Into the Multiverse that we have not yet discussed, but we will. Also, episode 100 is coming up in just a few weeks. You'll want to make sure to be here for that. Well, Tim, thank you again for coming on the show. This has been a blast, always is. And thank you for joining us yet again Into the Multiverse. Until next time, take care and God bless.